We are continuing on a series that we started a couple weeks ago called Teach Us to Pray. And today specifically, we'll be looking at the private prayer time. But let's get our key verse, Luke 11, verse 1. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. You see, prayer is extremely important for anyone who calls himself a believer because it's the way we communicate with the Lord. Prayer is just a nice term for how people who call themselves believers communicate with him. Communication matters. It's very important. The fact that prayer needs to be taught is something you must understand. Often people are like, well, I'm a believer. I don't know how to pray. Is something wrong with me? No, you need to be taught. Just like little babies and two-year-olds need to be shown how to communicate, it is something you learn. And Jesus' disciples knew that. They said, teach us. And so this series, we want to talk about prayer. We want to learn about prayer so that we can become people of prayer. You see, people of prayer realize that, oh my goodness, this communication builds relationship, and people who have a relationship with him change their world every single time. You want to know why? Because when you build a relationship with the creator of the world, the one who loves people so deeply that he came down and became in the flesh, the savior for us all, when you build a relationship with him, you will want to do the same. You don't have to die for anybody, but you will want to change lives. Prayer is that communication, and we must pray. You see, Christians who have a great relationship with the Lord have learned how to pray. And you're like, there's more than that to relationship, Pastor. Sure there is, but your communication most definitely will show your relationship in the natural and in the area of prayer. If you've ever wondered yourself, well, how's my relationships going? You know, how's my friendships or how's my relationship with my spouse doing? Well, you can tell simply by how the communication's going. Is there a lot of good communication? Or is there like, you know, kind of rough communication? Then it's a rough relationship. If there's no communication, you're in trouble. No communication will eventually mean no relationship unless you start communicating. You're like, boy, Pastor, you didn't have to tell us that. Yeah, I did. But here's the cool thing. Your communication is a little bit like a thermostat. Not a thermometer, but a thermostat in your house. Everybody know what a thermostat is? There's a little thing on the wall. It tells you what the temperature is in your house, but you can also turn it up or down, and it'll change the temperature in your house. Communication is not just a thermometer. It's a thermostat. If things are a little cool in your relationship, then why don't you turn up the communication? Oh, this is good husband and wife stuff right here. Husbands, if things seem a little cool, you can turn it up by your communication. Come in and tell your spouse, wow, you look beautiful today. I mean, that is going to help. Your communication, what do you want to communicate? Don't come in and be like, where's my supper? That's turning the thermometer down. Don't come in and be like, doesn't look very clean in here. You know, like, your communication matters. And it goes the other way too. Wives, for their partners, you can change the temperature quick with your husband if you want to. I don't know if I should tell spouses this one, but I'm going to anyways. Wives, if, you know, you're needing to get some stuff done, don't come in and, you know, your husband's there, he's tired, and you're like, you are so lazy, you never get anything done. Yeah, bad idea. Thermostat's going way down. Come in and tell him, wow, handsome, you are looking great today. I am so glad I married a man like you that gets so much done. And the thermostat goes up. What happens? He's like, yeah, I know. He gets up off the couch and what do you need done? You see, your communication matters. Yes, I'm joking a little, but not really. So how is your communication with the Lord? And today specifically, we want to talk about the private prayer time. You see, we're going to talk about all kinds of different prayer, but it all begins, I believe, with your ability and willingness to have a private prayer time. That's you and him. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. See, Jesus is our example, and when he was here on the earth, things got really busy, and people were all around wanting him to pray for them, to heal them. It was kind of a nonstop thing. But you see, Jesus knew that his source, where his power came from, where his life direction came from, was the Heavenly Father, and so he had a private prayer time. And he chose a time early in the day when nobody else was up, when nobody else could bother him. You see, you and I need to choose a private prayer time. Pick a time that works for you. Not everybody is an early morning person. Pick a time that works for you. If you're a late night person, don't spend late night just scrolling on your phone. How about make a private prayer time? Nobody's there to bother you. And you say, this is the time I'm going to do it. I actually mean pick an actual time where you can even set an alarm on your phone. Let's get real. This is kind of like working out. People talk about working out all the time. But the only people who actually work out have set a time. And as we're going to get to our next point, they actually pick a place. And then they put an alarm and they do it. Prayer is much the same. But pick a time. So right now, even you can be thinking about, what time would I do a prayer? Would it be early morning? Would it be late? I am not really an early morning person myself, just in case anybody didn't know that. But I do get up early because life starts early. But it takes me a while to kind of be like, okay, I'm all here. There isn't a right or a wrong way to pray. There isn't a right or a wrong time to pray. The point is, pick a time and pray from your heart what works for you. Don't get caught up in all the stuff and then not do it at all. So choose a time. If early morning is for you, do early morning. If it's not, do evening. If it's afternoon, pick a private place, a private time to pray. You see, when Jesus chose that time to pray, you realize he was going in to hear from the Father. And interestingly, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, said that he didn't do anything unless he heard it from his Father. Let me give you that verse, John 8:28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Really? He only spoke what the Father taught him. Look at John 8:38. I'm going to give you a few in a hurry. "I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father." One more. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." In other words, Jesus said he didn't say anything or do anything unless he heard or saw the Father. When did that happen? In his private prayer time. In his private prayer time. You see, Jesus heard daily what God would have him to do, where God would have him to go, what God would have him speak. You see, a private prayer time is where you get your direction. It's where you get your marching orders. It's where you get your clarity. It's where you get understanding. It's where you get compassion for people. It's where you get the presence of the Lord in and through you. And if Jesus, God in the flesh, had to spend time in prayer to know what he was supposed to do and say, what about you and I? But how often do we instead just try to wing it? We'll just do it on our own, man. We'll get advice from everybody we can find except him. And then we make our prayer time just about, oh, please help me, I'm in trouble, or, you know, I need this. That's not really what the private prayer time is meant to be. It's not simply a I need moment. It's a here I am moment. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What's the direction for my life? You see, your private prayer time is where you get really good at communicating with the Lord and get really good at hearing what he wants you to do. I remember those 7 a.m. mornings, and I'll be honest, I didn't think they were the greatest to get up that early, but I remember walking back and forth praying and hearing back from the Lord, sensing his spirit, what he wanted to do, what was coming next, feeling his presence. And you see, when you have a private prayer time where you get in his presence, the rest of your day, when you're doing things out of his presence, you don't even realize it, but others do. Because it becomes normal to you to hear from him and to be in his presence. It should be normal for you, and it will affect those around you. King David was someone who had a private prayer time, and he had private prayer times often, according to Scripture. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, noon. David had prayer time to the Lord three times a day. And I'm not saying you have to do that, but I just want you to see that great men and women in the Bible understood they needed private prayer time where they could talk to him. You see, David made it a habit of praying and worshiping the Lord long before he ever became a king. David worshiped and prayed to the Lord when he was out in the field watching sheep. You see, you don't come to the Lord in prayer because you're trying to become something. You come to the Lord in prayer because of who he is, and you need him. And he begins to work in you. Remember, David was chosen by God. Why? You remember why he was chosen by God? For his heart. For his heart. How did God know his heart? Because he spent three times a day at least. And we know from another scripture, seven times a day he would praise. He spent time in God's presence with a private prayer time. God knew his heart before he'd ever killed a giant. God knew his heart from those private moments. You see, you want God to work on your heart and to know you and to shape you, then you need a private prayer time. This is how David was described before he ever killed a giant. They were looking, actually, Saul was looking for someone who could play an instrument well, because he would get tormented, and when someone would play an instrument, he'd be freed from it. So they were looking for someone who could play an instrument really well. And someone tells Saul, I know this guy, and here's how it goes. 1 Samuel 16, 18. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well. He's a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. What a description. The Lord is with him. Do you want people to describe you, whatever they describe you as, but they put on their, the Lord's with that guy, the Lord's with that woman. And when they pray, boy, there's answers. They've prayed for me before, and I'll tell you, the Lord's with that person. Do you want people to speak and say that about you? Then you will need a private prayer time. It doesn't just happen randomly. It's not like, well, God chose you and nobody else. Did you notice that Jesus died for everybody? Did you notice that the Holy Spirit, it says, was to be poured out on all flesh? Oh, I thought God just chose very special people only for his presence. No. But if you don't have a private prayer time where you allow him to indwell you and fill you and shape you, people will not say about you that the Lord is with you. They won't even know it. But your private prayer time is where you get your direction. It's where you get your word from him. You see, the Lord was with David because of his private prayer life. When you have a regular prayer time where you allow the Lord to fill you and direct you, you are setting yourself up for great things ahead. I want to say this right now, especially to the younger ones here, but every age this applies. Start a private prayer time now if you don't have one. It will set you up for things you cannot imagine. Pick a time. You see, we don't suddenly become great men and women of God. We don't suddenly become great men and women of God because of an open door or a chance meeting. You and I become great people of God because of a decision to make a regular prayer time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with the one who opens doors and closes doors, and no man can open or shut them. You see, that's how you become great. That's how you do things that transform the world. You start with a private prayer time. Sometimes young people are looking to try to make that perfect connection, or if I could just get with that famous person, or if I could just go there. Start with a private prayer time. Isn't it crazy? People will do anything to meet a famous person, and here we can meet the greatest person of all time. We just have to set a time and go there humbly and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Isn't that crazy? You're looking for somebody to get you an open door to a better job or a better future. He's here. His name is Jesus, and he said anybody can come. Choose a private prayer time. I hope by this part in the service, you're already thinking of a time that works for you. And if you've had one and you've let it slip, get it back. The second point, and don't worry, I only have 2 points tonight. The second point, you need to choose a private prayer place. Some of you can be like, this is the simplest message ever. Does he not think we know that? Sometimes God said, just make it plain. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where God gave vision and he says, make it plain and write the vision on the tablets that people can read it and run. In other words, make it plain so that it can be done. There's nothing worse than a message that's so complicated that you're going to go out of here and not even know what you're supposed to do. If you go out of here tonight and you don't know that you need to make a time and a place, then I failed. You need a place. Choose a private prayer time. Choose a private prayer place. There's an interesting term used in Scripture. It's called the secret place. Psalm 91 verse 1, we read about it. And in a few other verses, it says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The secret place. What is the secret place? Let me give you some scripture about the secret place that might help you get a good feeling for it. Now, they kind of talk a little bit further in here. Did you notice where he likens the secret place to being close to God's presence, just like a hen with her wings around her little chicks? Maybe you've seen on TV, maybe some of you raise chickens, but when the little chicks first hatch, they're tiny little things. They're like perfect for hawks to eat. They're like nuggets, chicken nuggets. Anyways, and you know, they're like, so the mama has to protect them. And the mama will get its wings like this and they'll hide under the wings. They can't be seen by hawks or owls, or they're protected. And I can remember seeing hens with like 25 chicks and they all somehow fit under there. And there'd be a little chick with his head just poking out, seeing what's going on. But they are protected. And he uses that picture. So he's kind of giving us a little glimpse, secret place. Okay, we're getting this. It's his presence. It's safety. But I wanted to look a little deeper into secret place because there's just something about that word, that terminology that matters. And did you know, we kind of read about the secret place earlier in David's life. See, David wrote most of the Psalms, not all of them, but we hear about the secret place in his life quite a while back, earlier. And I'm going to read it, 1 Samuel 19:2. We're actually going to start at verse 1. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you. The secret place. Now, many people don't know there was actually 2 situations like this. This was the first time, and Jonathan, while David is in the secret place, He has a place where he's hidden, he's protected, and he is safe. Nobody's going to touch him. And while he is in that place, the son of the king is going to go on his behalf and make things right. Oh my goodness. If that isn't a picture, the secret place. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you need a secret place where you go in and you just give it all to the Son, Jesus. It says that he's seated on the right hand of the Father, mediating for us. And in this first situation, Jonathan goes and talks to Saul and convinces Saul that he is wrong, that David has done nothing wrong. And did you know what? He goes back and tells David, it's been made right, and David is put back in the king's court. Everything is okay. You're like, is that what happened? I thought there was two times. The first time, this is what happened. I believe God wanted us a picture to not forget. The secret place. A place where you're completely safe, protected, and the Son is mediating, is working things on your behalf. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 19, David has to run to the same secret place. It says, the day after tomorrow, toward evening, this is Jonathan and David again, because that spirit has come on Saul, that spirit of jealousy, and he's ready to kill David again. He actually threw a spear at him this time, and he's telling everybody, you got to kill him. And David says to Jonathan, it's happening again. And Jonathan says, it can't be. My dad would tell me. But he says, you go again. And listen to what it says. Go to the place where you hid before and wait there by the stone pile. I will come out and shoot three arrows to the side of the stone pile as though I were shooting at a target. And many of us know this story the second time. David is once again in the secret place. He's safe. Obviously, David and Jonathan knew where this secret place was, and nobody else did. Isn't that crazy? Because everybody in Saul's palace had been said, when you see him, kill him. And nobody's going to go against the king's order because they'll be killed. David once again is in this hiding place. Jonathan finds out his dad's mind is made up. He's going to kill him, and he shoots the three arrows and tells the little boy getting the arrows, they're beyond you. And he meets with David and says, this time you're going to have to go. It's a place of safety, a place where the Son is working on your behalf, and a place where you get direction for your next, the secret place. You see, it's a special place that each of us needs. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a private prayer place? I found out it's hard sometimes to do, to have that place where you're not interrupted, where we have a busy house. And, you know, sometimes having a private spot isn't all that easy. You have to, on purpose, have a private place. You get a time, you get a place, and you make this communication happen. It'll change your life forever. If you've not done this, it will change your life forever. I guarantee you. And you will love the secret place. I remember as a teenager, I grew up on a farm, a quarter section, and a lot of the quarter section had trees, and there was muskeg, and there was just all kinds of different country. And I loved going walking out there in that bush, just walking alone. And I would pray and walk out there, and it honestly felt like you went to another country because nobody knew where you were. And really, it was only a half mile by half mile. And I remember while walking out there, kind of staying off the trails, just going ever, I found this one tree. And it was a spruce tree, but for some reason, at the bottom, all the big branches went right to the ground. And it created this hideout under there. And there was a little thing in the back where you could get through. And so I kind of crawled in there, and I realized there'd been a deer using this as a place to sleep. But it was completely covered. And that tree was there. It's still probably there for years and years. And in the winter, the snow would cover and it'd be like an igloo snow thing. And I remember that as a pretty cool hideout. Nobody ever knew I was there. I mean, they knew I was out walking, so it didn't matter. But there was this feeling of, wow, this is my secret place. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a prayer place that can't be interrupted? A place where you can go and everybody knows you're there for that purpose. Where your kids know, hey, when I take this time, you gotta let me have it. Where your spouse knows, hey, when I take this time and this private place, it's for prayer, it's for communication with him, and they're good with it. Let me say for the teenagers, do your parents know you have a time and a place where you go pray? Where they can't ask you to do dishes and chores at that moment? Ooh, this just got good. And you're like, there's some teenagers going, I'm going to make a private prayer place. Yeah. Okay, you can't abuse that. You can't be like, I can't do anything, I'm praying. You know, don't fake it. But do you have an actual place? You don't wait till you're old. Sometimes I preach this and I think teenagers are like, oh yeah, when I'm mom and dad's age, I'll do this. Get a time and a place to pray now while you're young. It'll change your life. It will set you up for things you had no idea. Because you'll be communicating with the person who seems to set people up. That's what he said in his word. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will what? Exalt you in due time. I didn't make that up. God isn't about slamming people down and making their lives horrible. If you'll humble yourself and come to him, he wants to give you opportunities that fit who you are. So get yourself a prayer time and a prayer place. You see, a special private place, it's a special private place of safety away from the chaos that's going on around you. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. This is David writing this psalm. Isn't that interesting how he's picturing it like his hiding place in the days of Jonathan? He'll protect me. And then he puts in there, he'll hide me in his pavilion, the secret place of his tabernacle. In other words, where his presence is. You see, the secret place, the private place where you go, is not just something that's away from the chaos. It is also somewhere where you will enter his presence. Everybody say presence. I'm not talking about Christmas here. Presence. His presence. Your private prayer time and place should be you expecting, I'm going to go in and I'm going to feel his presence. Don't make it religious and be like, I'm going to just say this memorized thing and it'll be so boring and dead, but at least I did it. No. Go in expecting his presence. Because for it to be the secret place, his presence will need to be there, or else it's just a place. One more verse on this in case you're wondering. Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of man. Listen to this. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Ooh, my goodness. Maybe someone here, you got people talking about you. Maybe you got people coming against you. Maybe you got people lying about you. You need a secret place. You need a prayer time and a prayer place. You go into that prayer place. You be like, Lord, I come here to be in your presence. I am handing you all this junk. There is people doing and saying, but Lord, it doesn't matter. I'm giving it to you. And right now I'm in your presence. Have it all. You need prayer time, you need a prayer place. You see, the secret place can really be any place where you privately and habitually come into the presence of the Lord. Did you catch that? You choose a prayer time, you choose a prayer place, and it can be anywhere that it can be private for you and that you do it regularly. So, obviously, I'm going to ask you to also find a prayer place, a prayer time and a prayer place. That's going to be your challenge this week. Sometimes I give challenges. Your challenge? Have a regular prayer time and create a regular prayer place. Even if it's just a chair in the corner of one of your rooms. But you just say, this is my prayer place. And you let people in your house know it. Others need to know that this is your prayer time and your prayer place. Or it'll also probably never happen. I'm just saying, life is busy. Let your phone know that this is your prayer time and your prayer place. Do you know how you let your phone know it? Put it on silent and put it somewhere else and come to your prayer time and your prayer place. Some of you are like, why do that? Well, I like to listen to, you know, I'm going to just check verses on my phone or listen to music on my phone. Some of you all are addicted to your phone and you're looking for any excuse to keep it in reach. Like, no. Like, sometimes, you know, verses pop up. God speaks to me. You're addicted. It's an actual thing. Did you guys know that? It's an actual thing. You can check out the places, the psychologist things. Being addicted to a phone is a real addiction today. It's there. It affects people. If you put your phone on the other side of the room and you go over here and you start getting anxiety and fidgeting and you just don't know what to do with yourself, you're addicted. It's the same thing as someone who's addicted to drugs. You're like, is that real? Can it happen? Sure it can. When you scroll, you get a little adrenaline spark by something you like to see, the Oilers lost, no adrenaline spike. But anyways, it happens, and pretty soon you get addicted. Well, how do I know if I'm addicted? If you have loved ones around you, and they've been kind of hinting or nicely saying, it seems like you're on your phone a lot, and you're getting mad at them for saying it, you're addicted. How did we get on that topic anyways? Because we were saying, if you want a private prayer time and a private prayer place where you actually hear from God, feel his presence, put the phone away. It's just so quiet when I say that. Put the phone away. Well, I need music. Then turn the music on and put it on the other side of the room. Silence it if you can. Put it away. And if you feel those shakes, just be like, thank you, Jesus, I'm getting set free. It will not own me. You think of a drug addict, what owns them? The drugs. If somebody's addicted to phone, what's owning them? The phone is ringing. When I see little kids and they're stuck on a phone. And when they don't have the phone, they cry about it. When I see adults who are stuck on their phone. And when they don't have a phone, they cry about it. They don't cry about it, but they can be really grouchy. They can be really angry and they don't know why. For real. Private prayer place, private prayer time. Shut the phone off, put the phone away. Don't leave it in your pocket on vibrate. I can tell you from experience, so I'm not just saying this and pushing on anybody. I can tell you from personal experience. And I felt so busy. I remember those days. It is a few years back. I felt so busy. But at the end of the day, I'd be like, what did I accomplish? Because trying to do something, but the phone would ding and every notification was turned on for every app. And I'm trying to do something, but the phone dings, got to do that. Oh, trying to get back to what you're doing. And it would seem like I was running and so busy and nothing was done. Don't be addicted to your phone. Now, I know some of you might be, well, what if I'm on call? Well, how long of a prayer time are you taking? You know, when you start a private prayer time and a private prayer place, you're going to have to start small. If you start huge and you've never done it, you'll just give up. Did you know there's actually statistics that say if you want to create a new habit and be successful, you shouldn't do more than 2 minutes when you first start. That is crazy, isn't it? You want to successfully become somebody who does workouts? Do a 2-minute workout to start. I know people who work out are be like, oh, that's a waste of time. It's building a habit. And you won't quit because it doesn't hurt too much yet. So I'm not asking you to go start a 1-hour prayer time immediately this week, but could you set a time, a place, and do 2 minutes, 5 minutes? Could you give 5 minutes to the Savior of the world who gave his everything for you? 5 minutes a day. Could you? This is a real question. Who's going to give him 5 minutes a day at least? Okay, so you're going to set a time and a place. Like, man, this pastor is pushy. Yes, I am, because it will change your life. This doesn't benefit me, it benefits you. And it benefits the people around you that you touch, that you work with, that you live with. Jesus had something to say about this as well in Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go to your room, or King James Version says your closet. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Come on. You see, We're talking about the private prayer. There's a place for public prayer, but Jesus was talking to them about their private prayer, and he was saying, there's some religious people, they only pray when they can stand on a corner and show off to everybody. And he was saying, that's not what I'm wanting. I want you guys to have a private prayer place where you come to me. And that thing that you're doing in private, it's going to affect you, and you'll be rewarded publicly. Get you a private time and a private place. And go after him. Be real with him. You see, he will open doors for you that nobody can close. Daniel had a prayer place. You guys know Daniel, he had a prayer place. It said it was in his upper room, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. That's a place where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed. That's a time giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Did you catch that? When crisis came, he didn't start something new. He already did it. Get you a private prayer time and a private prayer place. And God will see you through any chaos. God will take you through anything. Establish it now. Don't wait for trouble. Don't wait for crisis. Establish that prayer time now and you will go through anything. Did you know that the apostles and the disciples had private prayer times and private prayer places? We read a story about Peter. He was visiting someone. It wasn't even his own house, but he made sure to find a place to pray privately. Acts 10 verse 9, it says, the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He had a vision from God that would send him to Cornelius' house. These were pagans, not Jews, Gentiles, and they would receive the Holy Spirit, and it would change the trajectory of what Peter was doing, and it all began with his normal routine of finding a private place to pray. He didn't know anything different was going to happen, but he went up to pray. Private place. No matter where you are, you're going to fly off somewhere for a month, find you a private place. You're visiting friends, find you a private place. God wants to talk to you. God wants to use you. You need to make time. You need to make a place. I'm wrapping up now. You see, every believer needs a private prayer time and a private place. And as I said, your challenge this week, pick a time, pick a place. It can be more than one place, by the way, if that's how your life is and you need to have more than one place. Maybe it's your vehicle on the way to work. Maybe it's a room downstairs, but pick a place. Because you see, the strength of our relationship, every relationship we have, the strength of those relationships is built in private and then shows itself publicly without us even thinking about it. I'm going to talk to couples for two more minutes. The strength of your relationship is often shown publicly, but it's built privately. If you're fighting at home, you can come to church and pretend, but the strength of your relationship will ultimately be shown by what happens privately. Take time for one another, forgive one another, build one another up, encourage one another privately, and people will see publicly the strength of your relationship, and the same thing is true for our God. You see, every amazing relationship that you have ever witnessed or been a part of had strong communication, guaranteed. Think right now, is there any relationships in your, when you were growing up, you're like, wow, I want to have a marriage like that. Anybody ever say that when they were younger? Sure you did. Guaranteed they had communication. And as I wrap up, I've got to say this. Every great relationship you've ever witnessed or been a part of also began with an introduction. Introductions matter. So when we talk about introductions in the sense of the Father in church, of course, we're talking about this communication, this awesome presence of God. But if you've never been introduced to Jesus, how can you have this communication? So an introduction in the sense of what we do in church is you or me, the pastor, telling someone Jesus died for you. He wants a relationship with you. This isn't about religion. And a relationship with the Lord is us saying, thank you for the gift that you gave us. We choose today to be in relationship with you, to follow you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty simple. So that's why here at our church, at the end of every service, I make opportunity for people to say yes to the gift and yes to following him, or for today, understanding a clearer relationship with him. And isn't it interesting that just like any introduction, it requires words. And scripture says that if you believe that Jesus is real, that he died for you and rose again, that you can confess with your mouth and you'll be saved. Confessing with your mouth means using words. So that's why we pray a simple prayer that lets people use words to begin this relationship. And oh my goodness, this little simple prayer is so simple that communication after that is going to be amazing. And so I'm going to ask you as a church to repeat this prayer after me in case there's one here who maybe has not done it. So if you will, please say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me for all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. It's that simple.